Hello, friends. This is Pastor Bill Clark. Welcome to the podcast. Hello, friends are the first two words I begin each message that I get the privilege to share each Sunday. I get to tell my friends about the greatest friend, Jesus Christ. I also consider friends to be one of the greatest gifts a person can have in this earthly life. Most of the episodes will be messages I share each Sunday, but from time to time, I'll invite a friend to share some of their life with us over a beverage. I pray these episodes bless you and help you on this journey of life. God's blessings to you, friend. This is a message I shared at Timothy Lutheran Church on Sunday, March 10th. It includes probably the most well-known verse in all of Scripture, John 3:16. Hello, friends. They said in our welcome, this week's readings give us two of the most well-known, most quoted verses from Scripture. First one is Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift from God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. John 3:16, probably the most well-known verse in all of Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As I started looking at these verses this week, started thinking about what should we teach? What should we share? What is God's word saying to us today? There's so much that could be said in our message today. So much that has already been said about these two verses. These verses are so familiar to us as Christians. Two verses that are so clear in what they're teaching us. Two verses that we see ourselves knowing and living out in our faith. Our epistle reading is absolutely loaded. It's common to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 at a confirmation service in the simple words of, "For by grace you have been saved." In those words, when Paul writes those words, he debunks every form of faith that depends on what I do. I don't accept Christ. Christ accepts each one of us. And better yet, he wants each one of us. Ephesians 2:1 says, "You are dead in your trespasses and sins." Our sins from Ephesians 2:1 is turned into assurance for us in Ephesians 2:4 and 5. God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. And through our faith, we are called to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So much for us as Christians in our epistle reading for us today. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. But we have even more in our gospel reading today from John chapter 3. Now, a bit of a side note, but I also feel it's important that we know today about our readings. We read John 3:16 three different times over a three-year period. Now, our readings are set up for the church year. They're set up on a three-year rotation for worship. We also call it the lectionary. Years are noted very simply, years A, B, C. We're currently in year B of our three-year rotation of the reading. So our church year begins in Advent each year, so just right at Thanksgiving, right? We put up the blue pyramids. That's the beginning of the church year. So today for John 3:16, this is one of three times in the three-year lectionary that we read John 3:16. But something for us to notice today is the unique way in which we read John chapter 3. See, the two other times that we read John chapter 3, we read John 3, verses 1 through 17. That includes the dialogue between Nicodemus and Jesus. This is when Nicodemus sneaks out at night. Nicodemus, the rabbi, sneaks out at night to speak with Jesus. But our gospel reading today is just John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. They do this so we focus on 3:16, verses 3:16 itself, but also on verses 15 and 17. Also, the lectionary is paired today with Numbers chapter 21 from the Old Testament. This directs us to clearly see Jesus lifted up on the cross as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness. So today's readings take us in a different direction and let us notice and learn different things about God's Word. Maybe you pause and you ever catch yourself hearing the same scripture verse and then learning one thing from it. And then the next time you hear it, you learn something else from it. It happens more than we realize from God's Word. Because God's Word is a living and breathing Word, and it speaks to us in many, many ways. In our reading today from John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, we have three things that we can clearly learn as Christians. First, the lifting up of the Son of Man, which makes eternal life possible. Second, that God gives us the gift of His Son, that whoever believes in Him should have eternal life. And finally, there is judgment. There is judgment for those who do not believe in the Son, who remain in the darkness instead of coming to the light of Christ. John 3:16 has been called the basis of the greatest love story that has been written for all of mankind. On this side of heaven, we all love a good love story, don't we? Crowds are drawn to the movies. Guys, admit it. We'll watch a romantic movie too, right? The Sound of Music, I just watched it not too long ago. The Notebook, Gone with the Wind, Romeo and Juliet, all classic love stories. There's something about a love story that makes everyone feel good about themselves. Love is a wonderful gift, given at creation from our Heavenly Father. Love is something that we as human beings, we all desire. We want to feel the warmth, the security, the tenderness that comes from being loved and being in loved. We want to be loved by our parents, our spouse, our children, our friends, our coworkers, the people we go to church with. Yet no matter how great our love story is, it pales in comparison to the unconditional love that God the Father has shown us through His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Oftentimes we think of love as an emotion, a good feeling, sweet words. Nothing wrong with that. And they're certainly a part of love. Yet at some point, if love is to become genuine love, it must be willing to be more than just words. Because genuine love needs to be and is willing to be tangible, right? You can feel it. Sure, it's easy to love the cute little baby, the little puppy, and but what about loving the unlovable? Homeless folks, drug addicts, they walk our streets every day. More and more of them every day. Or harder yet, someone who you totally disagree with. Or one of your enemies. When's the last time you showed them true and genuine Christian love? The opportunities for us to show love are not just circumstantial. Genuine love is found in the people that God has intentionally put into our lives. And He put him there and He has asked us to care for him. God's unconditional love now sets our agenda, guides our decisions, and determines our actions through the same kind of genuine love that He has first shown us. Now, important reminder here for us is that most of the time, genuine love is hard work, isn't it? Love isn't always a romantic comedy, right? A Hallmark movie, flowers, box of chocolates, right? Genuine love does not always make you feel warm and fuzzy inside and makes your heart go pitter-pat. Oftentimes, genuine love means rolling up your sleeves and giving up what we have. It's important to note that when we give up our life in service to love others, this isn't the end of our life. It is rather the beginning of a new life, a life focused on and centered in Christ and the love He wants to share, a genuine love. Genuine love sometimes means saying, "I was wrong, and I'm sorry." Genuine love sometimes means that you love your neighbor enough to call them out on their sins and hold them accountable, reminding them, too, that they need to repent. Not only is this kind of love hard work, it can also be painful work. Genuine love sometimes includes sleepless nights, uncontrolled anguish. How painful is it when your love is not returned? Friends, this is where the rubber really meets the road, isn't it? This is when you find out what genuine love is all about. For it is at those times when love is more than an emotion, it is an action. An action that requires more of yourself for the sake of others. So what does love have to do with Lent? Everything. God's love for humanity became tangible in the actions of the life, death, and resurrection of His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This intimate, unconditional, genuine love that Jesus has for us is at the heart of Lent. Today we're inching closer. Easter is just a few weeks off. Before Easter, we have Good Friday. The day when Jesus shows His ultimate genuine love by dying on the cross to save us from our sins. I know almost everyone is familiar with John 3:16, but don't forget John 3:17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. You see, no greater love can be expressed than what Jesus did for us. Because Jesus was not sent into the world to condemn it. No, He was sent to save it. And it's only through Jesus that we can truly know what this genuine love looks like. Christ has shown the ultimate genuine love for you and me by fully giving Himself for us and to us. God has not only given us His love, but He has also given us all that He is, in His very body and blood of His Son shed for us at this very altar. He has given us all that He has and all that He is so that we may love one another as He first loved us. Today, out of genuine Christian love, Christ makes us His very own. That is the kind of genuine love we see in the waters of holy baptism, a love that is rich in grace and full of forgiveness. In our epistle reading today, Paul writes, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." This love that the Heavenly Father has for us did not come easy. His love for us cost Him a great deal. Matter of fact, it cost Him His only Son. And it is in the true triune God that we see the fulfillment of what genuine love looks like. In God the Father, we see a genuine love that is modeled by Christ and His bride, the church. In God the Son, we see a genuine love that spreads out His arms and dies for us. In God the Holy Spirit, we see a genuine love that does not let us live apart from God, but calls us back home into His holy house. Now, if you think you deserve God's love, you're wrong. Because we have to be honest. Most of the time, we're not that lovable. You and I can be rebellious kids who have not returned our Father's love, but instead have chosen to love how and what we want. Yet, even in our sin, we are reminded that God is love and that He continues to love us unconditionally, even though we do not even come close to deserve it. John wrote in his epistle, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Because we only see love this side of heaven, this side of eternity. And the problem with earthly love is that it's all over the place. One minute you see people in love, and the next minute you don't. But in effect, Jesus is saying, forget about yourself, what you think, how you feel, and don't judge my love by the fickle ways that the world judges love. He's saying, instead look to me, and I'll show you genuine love. I want to go back to the beginning of our gospel reading today. Verses 14 and 15. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life." Now, this is one part of our reading today. If I asked you, what does this mean? What does this mean? You might have some trouble completely understanding what is Jesus saying. So what is Jesus saying in these verses? And what is He referring to in these verses? Well, He's referring to our Old Testament reading today from Numbers chapter 21. The Israelites had wandered around now, some estimate about 38 years of the 40 years they were in the wilderness. So they're on about year 38, and what are they doing? They're voicing their displeasure, aren't they? We read today, "And the people spoke against God and against Moses, 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food.'" You notice they mentioned food twice there, right? Basically saying there's no food besides this manna, the worthless food, right? The manna and the quail, they don't even like that. How did God respond? He sent fiery serpents, and they bit the people, and many of the people died. What happens next? The people repent, and the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He takes away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And how did God respond to Moses' prayer? "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live.' So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if the serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live." Now, when you read this account from Numbers, my question would be this: why would God have the people look at a serpent? The very thing that was killing them. And then in relation to Jesus' words today, that He must be lifted up like Moses lifted up the serpent, what does this mean? Well, first, to the words of Jesus in relation to Moses and the serpent. The serpent was put up on a pole, and Jesus will be put up on a pole, a cross. Jesus is foretelling of His crucifixion. Our next question: why would God have the people look at a serpent, the very thing that was killing them? God wanted the people to face their sins. He wanted them to acknowledge their sins. He wanted them to repent of their sins. Those that looked at the bronze serpent in an act of faith were saved from their bites. An image that once brought death now brings life. The cross that once brought death now brings life. God wants us to look at the cross in the same way. Those who look at the cross in an act of faith are reminded of their sins and the price that was paid for them for their sins. My question for you this morning is, what is your bronze serpent? What is your bronze serpent? What is the one thing that is causing you to sin? Is it pride, greed, envy, lust, gluttony? The results of the words or actions from your anger? Not being able to control your anger? What about the relationships in your lives that need repairing? Those hurt relationships, God wants us to face them. Go to your brother and sister and face them in love. Jesus' words. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is a two-way street, isn't it? Ask for forgiveness, but also tell others that they are forgiven when they ask for forgiveness. There's no more powerful words in a hurt relationship than to say, I have sinned against you, and I ask for forgiveness. And the other person to respond, thank you. You are forgiven. Forgiveness is given and accepted. Genuine love has become more tangible. We are reminded of the tangible love in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What that means is that Jesus put his genuine love into action for you by dying on the cross for your sins. Even though we offer him nothing in return, the Lord says, this is not the end of your story. I want to write a new, genuine love story just for you. God says, I love you. I love you with a genuine love, and because of that love, I am not done with you. He did that. He did that for us by giving up his Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. Thank you once again for listening to the podcast. If you have any questions about anything that we share in our messages, any questions on faith, any just general questions, get a hold of me. I'd love to have a conversation. Thank you again for listening. Have a great day. God bless.